that is quoted in Bereishis Rabbah. Vayiriyah Yitzchak ha'ohela. Yitzchak goes back to the tent. Kol yamim shaita Sara kayemet. Whenever Sarah was around, hayat ner daluk milelei Shabbat vadelei Shabbat. Her candle lasted from one Shabbos till the next Shabbos. The cave in Shemita pasak otoner. When she died, the candle stopped. The cave in Shabbat Rivka chazar. And Rivka came, and the light came back, and Yitzchak knew that this was the woman who will be the future mother of the Jewish people. So, wait a second. I thought Chanukah, I thought candles were only invented by the rabbis in, like, you know, 2,000 years ago. How is Avraham Avinu and Sarah Imeni lighting candles? So even the Gemara, which says that they did all the mitzvahs, it's seemingly you would think it's talking about the biblical mitzvahs, even rabbinical mitzvahs. So the truth is, there is an opinion that even the rabbinical mitzvahs. But why is that? Why do you think the Midrash specifically points out this mitzvah of lighting Shabbos candles as something that Sarah Imenu did?
Oh, because she's like the mother, she's like the mother of like Judaism.
Yeah.
So like.
Okay.
For her to be doing it, like, just since they were like lighting for that long, it's like kind of like Hanukkah in my head, like right now, because like they also lasted for like 8 days. But I don't really know where I'm going with this. But I think it's just saying like how important Sarah was in like biblical like time.
Because you're saying it to show the chashivas of Sarah.
Yeah.
Good.
Or the importance of like lighting, maybe.
That's what I was thinking. I was thinking that in the mind of a Jew, one of the most important mitzvahs for a Jewish woman is, of course, lighting Shabbos candles.
Yeah.
And so how could you imagine Asara Imenu not lighting Shabbos candles?
I can't.
Impossible. It can't be. Right? Just like it's hard to imagine Avraham Avinu without a kippah.
So who do you think lit, and like, if like they lit candles back in that, do you think like who lit for Yaakov? You think, like, all of his
wives? Right, that's a good shayla.
Yeah.
Did they all light Shabbos candles? Did they switch off? I don't know. It's an excellent shayla.
Maybe whichever house, tent he was in.
Yeah, maybe.
I can't imagine.
Or,
like, who knows?
Or they each could have lit their own.
Yeah, could be. I don't know. But I guess, I don't know what happened, but what I think that the Midrash is trying to tell us is that lighting Hanukkah Shabbos candles is not just another mitzvah. Not just another rabbinical nice thing to do, provide some light. It's much more than that. It's much deeper than that. It's much more important than just another way to provide light. Okay? So that's, I guess, an introduction. So what is this all about? So the Yalkut Shemoni is a midrash. And it puts it very simply, very clearly. Neroteya hen kvoda. The lights provide honor, respect. For Shabbos. Okay? So in other words, we're now taking it a step further. It's not just a practical thing of having lights, but having that candle provides a certain ambience. It changes the vibe. It's like a difference when, you know, you go to a restaurant and you have two nice candles lit. It's very different than in a dark room than if you have just, you know, a regular electric light. One of them provides respect, honor, makes it feel more special. And one of them is just down for practical purposes. So apparently there's also an element of Shabbos candles being for kavod, in the midst of kavod Shabbos. Okay? Yeah, you with me? Now, I think this idea is also reflected in a very famous Gemara, which talks about why we sing Shalom Aleichem last week's shir. So the Gemara says, Shnei malachim hasharet malavim lo ladam. There are two angels which is scored up for us in Be'erev Shabbos, mi beta knesset, the beta chad tov v'chad ra. The two angels escort us to our house. U'kishaba l'beta, and when you come to your house, u'matza ner daluk, and you find a candle lit, u'shulchan aruch, and the table set, u'mitato mutzad, and the mattress spread, Malach tov amer yiratzon shatei l'shabbat acheret. Even the bad angel has to say, may it be like this next week too. In other words, how does the Midrash describe
so sorry,
the ideal? No worries. No worries.
Okay. My
What's the ideal? What?
A sheep?
Yes. What's the ideal beautiful Shabbos look like in the eyes of the Midrash? You got to have the table set, and what do you have to have on the table?
Table candles.
Candles. The candles need to be.
Your mom taught me the halakha that you have to have a table.
It's true. It's good to have a table.
Oh,
huh? Yeah. It's.
According to Rabbi Gaffer.
Before or during? Before Shabbos, it's good to have the tablecloth that, like this midrash just indicated, so the angel can see and see it all blessed. What a lot of people don't know is it's a nice idea to keep the table set with tablecloth the whole Shabbos. It's a very nice idea. All right. Anyways, so again, this is really just part point two I'm making is that the ambience, the honor, the respect of Shabbos is when you light those candles. It makes it feel different. It makes it feel special. Okay? Now, we're gonna go a little deeper than that and try to now delve into what is the spiritual significance of candles and fire in general, or light in general. Don't look at the source sheet. Where are the first times? Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I like these games.
Me too.
Where is the first time which we encounter light? Very good. You guys know yourself.
Yom Rishon.
What's the 25th word of the Torah? The 25th word. You can guess. You're gonna lose track. What day is Hanukkah? So what's the 25th word of the Torah?
There.
Or.
I said or 15 times.
Good job, Daniel.
What was that?
It's fine. You got it. The 25th word of the Torah is or, and the first thing that God creates is or. Now, guys, we may not have ever really contemplated this before, but in other words, the first way in which God interacts with the universe, the first way he, so to speak, holds out his hand and says, I want a relationship with you, universe, is with light. Okay? By the way, what type of light are we talking about? How do we know it's not regular light?
Because the sun was great on the fourth day.
The sun was great on the fourth day, so it must be this is the special light, the Or HaGanuz.
I was going to say that!
Good job. Or HaGanuz, which is set aside for the tzaddikim in the next world. By the way, people who have near-death experiences, the common thread thing that they see is they see light.
My Safa had a near-death experience. She saw the Lubavitcher to Rebbe, told her to wake up from her coma.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, she woke up.
Good job. Wow. Anyways, so the first time we interact with fire is when God creates the world. What's the second time that we see in the Chumash?
Oh, with Abraham.
With Abraham and the Labat Ish. And the, No, not that I'm talking. In the sacrifice. Correct. I didn't bring in the source, but you're right. Avram is.
Sorry.
Okay.
With the
Korban. Oh, with the Korban, too.
Okay, so is it Adam with fire?
Okay, let me make the question more specific.
It's not really fire.
When do we see
after
a fire which cannot
the
get
bush.
Extinguished? Yes. The burning
bush.
Okay?
Watch it go. You spoiled it before we could hear the question.
Right? So let's take a look at that. Okay.
That was the first time we saw fire?
No, that's the first time we interact with a fire that will not get extinguished.
Fire.
I thought we were asking, was it the first time we saw fire?
No, there's another time in our history when there's a fire that will not get extinguished.
Fire.
When is there a holiday which talks about a fire which will not get extinguished?
Hanukkah,
right? That's the whole miracle of Hanukkah, that the fire would not get extinguished.
All right, I got that.
It's a good yes. Okay, all right.
Do you celebrate the Shelly?
That was my first year we talked about that. The answer is...
Of course, that's
I'll tell you the truth. When I was in New York, I hardly cared much about it. Like, it wasn't important to me. The last 5-6 years, I've always celebrated, mainly because I've been running yeshiva meals, and I was usually the rabbi who had to run the Thanksgiving meal. So for 2 years, I ran it at, right there, 2 years at TVA, and last year I ran a Shabbos meal that was Thanksgiving, so I have celebrated it. And actually tomorrow, on Thursday night, tomorrow night, my father-in-law, who's a big rabbi, is also making a Thanksgiving.
Who's your father?
Rabbi Bienenfeld, who's...
Bienenfeld?
Yeah.
Where? Taught Vicky and Richard Bienenfeld?
I don't know.
Dana Bienenfeld? Zach Bienenfeld?
I wonder where they're from.
From where?
From St. Louis.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
Maybe they'll see the shirt. It's a crazy guess.
There was a famous girl here last year.
Oh, wait.
Probably knows my way.
When Moshe was looking at the burning bush, what, do you think it was just a bush with fire and Hashem was just like, you just heard a voice? Is that what it is?
It was a fire that God placed on the bush, and the bush wouldn't get extinguished, neither would the fire, and then God revealed himself.
Like, how did he reveal himself? Like, was he talking?
He spoke. You saw Prince of Egypt?
No.
Oh, you gotta see it.
No, but like,
have you watched it in school? Like,
Prince of Egypt is the best movie ever.
I'm just confused. I don't understand.
We're getting a little off topic, but these are important
topics.
Very important. So let's read it. Let's read it inside. Why guess? We'll read it inside. So the pasuk says, "Vayira malach Hashem alabat esh mitoch asne vayar bine asne boer baesh vasne inenu ukal." Moshe is walking around. And he says, whoa, I will stop and I will see this bush because it's a little strange that it will not get extinguished. And he looks at it and he sees the fire will not get extinguished. And then God reveals himself to Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay? So amazingly enough, specifically in this story, just like in Hanukkah, we have a fire which will not get extinguished. But if God wants to reveal himself to mankind, to Moshe Rabbeinu, he has many ways to do this. Right? He could... thunder and lightning, all sorts of cool ways. So why did you specifically choose to use fire? Why did you specifically use to this type of small little fire which will not get extinguished?
Because Moshe's humble.
Okay. It's a nice idea.
Oh,
humility.
Nice.
Humility. That's one idea. Any other ideas?
Jewish light will never be
extinguished.
Why did God specifically reveal himself to Moshe Rabbeinu through this small fire that will not get extinguished? Could be the Jewish people. Symbolism of the Jewish people. That's what Rashi talks about. Exactly.
Okay, the connection of his birth with Orin.
Oh, when he was created, there was light
and
also.
It was
also interesting. Very nice. Very clear.
He's going to create the world of light.
Everybody's got
also.
Maybe, like, he's going to free the people. Like, he's going to, like, extinguish the Mitzrayim.
Yeah.
So, you guys are showing the beauty of Torah. There's 70 levels. Everyone has their chelek. And everything you guys have said is correct. I'm going to share with you Rabbi Foreman's suggestion. Rabbi Foreman says...
I'll
make some videos.
Rabbi Foreman suggests like this.
I don't
know him. So you'll learn, you'll get the name through his Torah. So Rabbi Foreman says that...
You'll get the word down.
The Torah goes out of its way to stress that Moshe stopped and said, whoa, I never noticed this bush before that will not get extinguished. I will stop and I will look at it. In other words, God could have revealed the Moshe in the hugest way, but he revealed in a small miracle because the Torah wants to tell us that Moshe Rabbeinu needs to notice the small, tiny, little miracles. The tiny little things. And because he was the type of guy who was looking for God, he was looking for the miracles, that's why he saw God. But if Moshe would not have been looking for God, he wouldn't have found God. A big miracle everyone sees.
How was he looking for God? I thought he didn't want
to. I'll put it, not necessarily was he looking for God, but he was looking, he was curious. He saw a fire in a little bush and he was like, oh, interesting. Most people would just keep walking. Most people wouldn't bother. But he was the type of guy that was curious, that was looking, and because of that, he's the type of person that God chooses to be the leader of the Jewish people. Okay? It's when you look for those small little miracles. And I also think it's pretty fascinating he did it specifically through fire. Fire, which is the first way in which he reaches out to mankind, is also the way in which he reaches out.
I feel like it's really annoying. We have, like, all these people we have to live up to.
And I don't think that's a lesson.
Moshe,
that's
Abraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov.
And fire.
Yeah. What are they showing? Not really.
Ish Kodesh.
I don't know
who
that is, but...
The piece
of the rim.
Oh. I
short-tripped
over you.
No,
he's an
Israeli.
Yeah, I forgot.
Very nice. Okay.
Yeah.
So, that was a little bit of a tangent. I went on a little bit of a tangent. The point is that both in shot, you know, I'll put it like this. You know, when you light candles, we maybe never thought of it before, but like, lighting candles is kind of a weird way to celebrate a holiday.
Yes.
I don't really think so.
If you want to sell, for us, it's not weird. But for think about it for back in the day.
No, but
they were lighting candles every day, all the time. Right?
Yeah.
They were always lighting candles. We only light candles for mitzvahs. So for us, it makes sense. But every other mitzvah that we do, it's strange. We wave a lulav. We eat matzah. We build a sukkah. We blow a shofar. We do weird things.
We do.
Hanukkah, the rabbis say, light a candle.
We just said, like, the burning bush.
I think it's
maybe
so
it's
nice.
The small things. Like, we never thought about, like, the candles. Like, that's why the burning bush, you probably got that source, because it was, like, such a small thing that Moshe noticed the bush.
That's what I'm thinking. That it's a small little act, just lighting a candle, and that could be so deep and so beautiful and so sweet.
Yeah. Candle and like fire
because
it's so much that it's just like, especially in
Judaism,
whenever people bring like examples into
anything,
they always
like
sparks is like
right, lighting fire.
Every day for so long.
I would agree with you. So a bit more on that topic.
It's probably my favorite because like, it's just so nice.
I like Passover. I like Yom Kippur.
No, a lot of it is my favorite actually, but like, I like the.
I like the ambiance.
Yeah.
I think it's a beautiful holiday. All right. So that was a little bit of a tangent. By the way, I forgot to mention, where else do we see a big fire the next time we see a big fire in the Torah?
Oh, yeah.
Say to the eagle.
By receiving the Torah.
Oh.
The same place. Also, it's true with Elio. But by the same place that Moshe Rabbeinu originally saw the sneh.
Oh, yeah.
Later ends up being the place where he receives the Torah.
There's no coincidence.
Maybe the Torah is telling us, if you want to receive the Torah, you need to be able to see the small little miracle.
Because Har Sinai was small also.
It's also a humble mountain.
Yeah.
It's also true.
Sorry.
Okay, good. Now, getting to, I guess, some Kabbalistic sources.
I'm ready.
So, the Pasuk in Mishnah, is not Kabbalah, this is the Makor for it all. The Pasuk in Mishnah writes, Ki ner mitzvah v'torah or. The ner is a mitzvah. Mitzvahs are symbolized by candles. And Torah is light. Okay? That's the very famous pasuk. Somehow, candles are associated with doing mitzvahs. The Zohar writes, Iker ner mitzvah, the ner chavas. Every mitzvah creates a certain light in the world, in your soul. But you know the mitzvah that creates the Iker, the main light in your soul, the Zohar teaches us, it's lighting Shabbos candles. Klomar, mitzvot nero Shabbos me'ir yachasit harbe yoter mishar mitzvot. Every mitzvah, you can bring light into your soul. But like the Pasuk says, ner mitzvah, the main mitzvah that brings light into our neshama is lighting candles. And now with all that, you know.
Are these like Shabbos candles or like candles?
This is specifically referring to Shabbos candles.
Okay.
Okay. And now, you know, before if I would have just, wait, it's a random Gemara about having light in our house, we might have thought that's pretty strange. But now that we're understanding some of the deeper connotations and connections that are wrapped up with lighting candles, we can maybe understand a little bit why lighting Shabbos candles is so powerful, so significant. In the Shlah, who's also a Kabbalist, the Shnei Luchot Habrit, Rabbi Isaiah Horowitz, he writes the following, the answer is Yud Gimel now. Hanishamot, Shehem Nerot Ha'olam. Our souls are like candles for the world. Minerot HaShabbat Embaot V'shurot Al Ha'ru Yema'ela. Our extra soul on Shabbos, when do we get our extra soul? When we light Shabbos candles. when you light that Shabbos candle, at least as a Jewish woman, you take Shabbos upon yourself.
Yeah.
And you get a neshama. And the neshama is compared to a soul. So it makes a lot of sense. And when I light my Shabbos candles, that extra soul is kind of descending upon me.
When do men get?
They can also like...
Men get it usually when they say, Harini, I accept upon myself Shabbos, or they sing Bo'i B'Shalom, Bo'i B'Kala, Bo'i. When they say the prayer, they get the Shabbos neshama upon themselves. But the women take Shabbos upon themselves.
When do I get it? If I'm a little kid.
When your mom lights
like
the Shabbos.
Like 40?
Yeah,
I
look
right
at
now. If I'm, like, let's say I don't think about Shabbos and I'm not lighting. Do I get it?
Then you don't light and you're not, but somebody lit for you.
Oh, yeah.
So when she lit for you, then your soul came.
Can you do that for like a boy or just for like technically for your wife without you dying to get like,
what? What's the question?
Like, we're just saying, like, when you.
Like, if a man, like, accepts and pops up when he says lechadori, but let's say he doesn't.
Yeah, he takes
say lechadori, then it's what his wife likes.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's my question.
No, then it would happen when it's actually Shabbos. You know, how Shabbos, like when it's Shkia. At Shkia.
Okay.
Yeah. But we have a mitzvah called Tosefet Shabbat to add, to make it holy, even when it's not yet holy. That's, and that women do that by lighting Shabbos candles, and men do that by saying that prayer. Okay? So now, I'm reading from the Shabbat B'Kabbalah B'Chassidut, again of Karsik, the last source on the page. Nerot Shabbat, Osot Shalom B'Toch Adam Atzmo, Ben Gufo V'Nishmato. Somehow, when you light Shabbos candles, you create harmony between your body and your soul. Normally, during the week, our body and our soul are often at odds. Right, the soul wants to do mitzvahs and be kind and be loving, and the body wants taivas and do whatever it wants, and being like a, you know, going off after its desires. Kol yimot haShavua, haguf ne'evak umit naged neshama elokit. The whole week, the soul and body are at war. Vayidei nerot haShabbat, haguf mitale umit karev neshama kedosha. Somehow, when you light those Shabbos candles, the body and the soul come closer together. They become one. Okay? Maybe that's another idea of the two candles, the two Shabbos candles. Right? We know the most classic explanation of why we have two Shabbos candles is for
Shamor
V'Zachor. Right? Nachon. But there's also this idea that the two candles symbolize the body and the soul. And the body and the soul are becoming more one, more connected to each other, more at peace and harmony, more shalom, when we light those Shabbos candles.
I like that.
Yeah. I like it too. That's why I brought it on the source. There's a lot of stuff that I don't bring on the source sheet. I only really bring stuff that I really like. But there's a second source sheet. Don't worry. Okay. So there's a wonderful sefer named. At this point, we're jumping past the Kabbalah, and now we're talking about the symbolism, some of the symbolism behind Shabbos candles, and we're going to end off with some of the symbolism behind Hanukkah candles, and maybe if we're lucky, we'll get a story. Rav Shimshon Pinkus has a beautiful sefer called Shabbos Kodesh. They have it in English now. So I translated one to English, and I wrote one out in Hebrew. It's actually harder for me because I have to type it in Hebrew. But he has two different nice ideas about what we can think about when we're lighting our Shabbos candles. So someone reads into it in English. Give my voice a break.
I can do it.
Go for it.
Shabbos is the language of suffering. When Shabbos comes, the whole world is nullified in God's presence. The only thing left in the world is the glory of Hashem. The true reality of the world, the oneness of Hashem, and that there is nothing besides Him, this is revealed. The entrance to the gates of holiness is down through the lighting of the candles. At the entrance of Shabbos, we light the candles, and suddenly we see everything that stands in front of us.
Okay. Yeah, keep it.
At the moment when we light Shabbos candles, we understand that we are standing before our Creator. All the laws of Shabbos begin with lighting the candles through the moment of light.
Beautiful. So I really found this a powerful passage because it brought home to me a lot of ideas, but one idea is God created the world. That first moment when it all began, it began with
light.
And when we begin Shabbos, it all begins with light.
That's so beautiful.
Yeah, isn't that a beautiful idea? It all starts with that moment of light where we realize we are standing in the presence of God. There's nothing except Him. And everything else that was bothering us isn't important. Because now we're going into Shabbos. And it begins with that moment of standing in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The next source, I think it has another beautiful insight.
Are we going to read the Hebrew?
I'm going to read it.
Yeah.
Adam Nechnas, Lebeit HaMidrash, Be'emsa Laila. Imagine, a person walks into the Beit HaMidrash in the middle of the night. Mechapes Sefer, Gemara. He's looking for a Sefer. Hachashmal eino dulak. There's no electricity. B'makom shorer choshech gamur. Total darkness. U'matchil legashesh at hakirot. Starts touching the walls. Lo matzliach lemtzot ha-sefer shemachapetz. But he can't find the book that he's looking for. Hasfarim nimtzaim. They're momdim afnei ha'anayim shel. The books are there. Right, a man turned off the light. Books are there. Rak shehu eino re'otam. He does not see them. It turns out the difference between darkness and light does not change the reality. Things are the same. Whether the light is on or whether it's a dark room, the book is still here, right? If we turn the lights off, this Tanakh. If you'd like, sure. Very nice.
Okay,
honestly, Tanakh. It's still here. Okay? Kol ma sheyesh bo yesh bechoshech. Ha'evdel hu rak ba'adam. Shebechoshech eino re'eh b'levav. What's the difference in me? When it's dark, I can't see the book. Yeah, you get it?
Yeah.
So when we light Shabbos candles, what's happening? Is the world changing? Maybe not. What's changing?
Us.
We are changing our perspective.
I was about to say our perspective.
Exactly. We are becoming, we are flipping into Shabbos mode. Into everything's for the best and everything's good. We have no more worries, no more concerns. All we are worried about is being a holy, happy, good Jew. And that's what Shabbos candle symbolizes. Again, it's not that it's just about changing our perspective from a dark perspective. Is seeing things in light of Hashem. Okay, so that's another symbolism, beautiful idea that you can take with you for what Shabbos represents. I'll share one more. Pnini Alacha and Torah Yerchet says something very simple. When you think of Or and the Jewish people, what do you think of?
Hashem, the Torah.
What about our mission? What does light have to do with the Jewish
people? We bring light to the world.
Or Lagoyim, exactly. Like Yeshaya, the Navi Yeshaya says, our mission in life is to light up the world. You guys know, you probably don't know, there's a song, Billie Jean.
Yeah, by Michael Jackson.
Yeah, so you know the music video in that?
Not
familiar.
Okay. I'm not familiar. Can I tell you something really funny? No, it's so funny.
After.
It's so funny.
If it's really quick.
Okay, basically my great-grandmother was in the hospital. It was the time so Michael Jackson was getting his skin bleached. So he came to my great-grandmother's hospital room and started singing to her. And then she was just yelling at the security to get this Schwarzer out of her room.
Okay. That was a great story. Anyway, the point is that everything he touches turns to gold in that video. He touches the floor, it turns to gold. So that's the Jewish people. Okay? Our mission in life is to light up the world with light, with joy. Every person we meet should feel a little bit better, a little bit sweeter, a little bit happier, a little bit in a better place because they've interacted with me. With that holy Jew.
Are we talking about music video right now?
We're talking about why we light Shabbos candles. And we're giving symbolism number 3, we'll review it in the end. I'll review everything in a few minutes. That Pnei Alcha, right? Ner Shabbat, Aseh Shalom Bet, Ayde Tosefet Or, Romez Le Tikkun Aulam, Shaseh Al De Hosafet Or, Torah v'emunah. Our mission in his life is to spread light of faith, the light of Torah. V'zuhi megamata shel Shabbos, and that is the mission of Shabbos. Losif or shel emunah v'Torah v'olam, to spread light of faith in our hearts, to spread the light of Hashem to the world. Beautiful. Okay, I want to finish off with a passage from one of my favorite Sfarim. It's a Sefer, Lev HaShemayim. Okay. And
is it the English that's here?
Is it what?
Is it the English that's on the bottom?
No, it's in Hebrew.
Oh.
And I wrote it. I typed it up, so you can follow along if you want.
Where?
And
Yud Zayin.
And it's going to talk a little bit about Shabbos, and it's going to talk a little bit about Chanukah. Okay, so let's do it. Katuv b'svarim toshim shalashlosh sugei neiros metaknim et chet shel etz hadaat. The holy works, the Kabbalistic teachings teach us that there are three types of candles which fix the sin of the tree of knowledge. When we light these candles, these three types of candles, somehow we fix that original mistake of eating from the tree of knowledge. Can you guess? What are the three times of lighting?
Shabbos.
Number one.
Hanukkah.
Number two.
Yom Tov.
Close.
Oh, Yom Kippur. What was the question?
When do we light? What type of lighting?
Fixed? Here's light candle.
Close.
Oh, that's good.
The menorah. The menorah in the Beis Hamikdash.
Oh.
Practically got that.
Yeah, you did pretty
good.
Ner Shabbos, Hamikdash, Ner Hanukkah. Be'etzim. The truth is, it's the same light. Now he's going to explain what he's talking about. He's going to translate this to our language. Ech madlikim nerot. How do we light candles? Bayad. With our hands. Right. De'ulachem. I want you to know. My precious friends. Yadayim hem davar me'od elyon. Hands are very high. Kishani merimatan, when I lift them up, hen omdot charbe me'al roshi. They stand way above my head. I thought my intellect is the highest thing, but my hands go higher. Mivne shehem nogot b'makom shehu lemala midati, because they touch a place which is much higher than intellect. In other words, hands to Shlomo symbolizes something deeper than what you know just with your brain. 2 + 2 = 4. Something much, much more powerful than that. Lama anashim aovim zete rotzim lachzik yadayim. Have you ever thought about it? Why is it when people love each other, they want to hold each other's hands?
Because it brings them closer.
And why? What is it about hands?
It's a physical touch. No?
It's something about that physical touch which is beyond the intellect, right? It's emotional. It's deeper than just an intellectual endeavor. And that's begun with the hands. Hands symbolize beyond the intellect. Our connection, our relationship is beyond understanding. Right? That's right. A friend in Hebrew is a yadid. Yad yad. Holding hands, right? Two people connecting.
Thank
you. Thank you. So that I could teach you something and I could feel nice. There we go. Lefamim ata lochet yadav mishu v'zeklum. Sometimes you shake someone's hand or give someone a hug and it's nothing. Hu noten lecha chatichat basar b'yad. Yeah, he gives you or she gives you a little bit of flesh. V'zeo. Yesh adam sholochet lecha yad unugia lecha b'neshama. Sometimes someone gives you a little handshake, a little hug, and your soul is in a different place. You feel like, wow, that was powerful. Right? Because when someone's doing it with their whole heart, a physical touch can be so powerful. You know, when the Jewish woman lights Shabbos candles, she covers her eyes. We know the technical reason so that she won't benefit from the light before she blesses, right? But Shlomo is saying something different. The light of Shabbos comes from a place that you can't see. Remember that original light that was created by HaKadosh Baruch Hu is beyond words, beyond before there was anything. So when she's lighting that Shabbos candle, she's drawing from that place of holiness, that place of emotion, that place of depth. Not an intellectual act. It's a deep, deep moment of connection. We think that light is there to show us what there is. What eyes can see. The light shows me the sitter. Sometimes a light is there to show us what we can't see with our own physical eyes. Show us there's much more than what our eyes see. And that's Shabbos candles. That's Hanukkah candles. It's not just to see something, practically. It's to show us that there's much more to this world than what meets the eye. Okay?
I like that.
So to sum up, we have 2 minutes left, right? So to sum up, we've talked a lot about the symbolism of Shabbos, how it's this moment of recreation, how we're changing our perspective, how we're drawing from a place beyond knowledge and deep and coming to a place of deep connection. We spoke about the Kabbalah and how when you light Shabbos candles, your soul's on fire and your soul is getting your Neshama Yisera, and the Iker Kedusha of a person comes from the Shabbos candles. And that is a very, very beautiful and deep, and it brings a certain ambience of chashivas to our Shabbos meal. One last line about how do we take it one step further for Hanukkah? What happens on Hanukkah? But Hanukkah, kol yudi madlik nerot velo rak ha'isha. Every Shabbos, only the woman is holy enough to light Shabbos, symbolizing bringing the Kedusha into her own home. That's her job. But what happens on Hanukkah? Everyone can light and we go out to the streets. We're taking that Kedusha that we feel in our souls, that love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and connected to the bodies, connected to Kedusha, we want to go show the world how much light there is in the world, how beautiful HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, how beautiful this world is, how beautiful Eretz Yisrael is. And that's part of the idea of Hanukkah. Hopefully when you light your Hanukkah candles, or if you light your Shabbos candles, you can think about these beautiful ideas, bringing light to our souls, bringing light to the world. And I bless you guys with an amazing, amazing Hanukkah, which is so full of light. If you happen to be in the Old City, you're welcome to come visit and sing with me at the Shabbos candles, Bezrat Hashem. And I'll see you guys in 2 weeks, Bezrat Hashem. Have a great night and a great